Amen. All right. And he is for you, isn't he? That's a great message there. Well, why don't you take God's word and turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. We want to think this morning about making the most of your life. And that certainly is a theme that would go along with graduation, but really all the rest of us as well. Now, everybody wants to be successful, don't they? Everybody wants to achieve some things in life. You know, we hear that word success in a lot of ways and a lot of times, don't we? All kinds of contexts, you hear that word. And, you know, there's some success story that maybe it's given in a documentary on TV or maybe in a magazine article or a book. But we hear about success, don't we, and how somebody has risen to a level of success. There are these successories posters that are put out, and they have some kind of a upbeat saying on them, and they're there to inspire you. There's these books, this series of books, these books for dummies. Here's one called Success for Dummies, written by Zig Ziglar, a good guy. I want to say something, give a quote from him in just a minute, but they tell us that there are about 2,500 different titles in this Dummies, Books for Dummies series. And I jotted down a few of them. Some are a little bit novel, I guess, a little bit different. Cosmetic Surgery for Dummies. I'm thinking about that myself. Near-Death Experiences for Dummies. Anger Management for Dummies. There's one called Congress for Dummies. I wonder if maybe some of those folks bought that book and then ended up in Congress. I don't know. But all sorts of these martial arts for dummies, that might teach you about enough to get beat up or something. I don't know. But here are these books about success. We hear all about success. Nobody wants to be a dummy. Nobody wants to be a failure. Everybody wants to be a success, right? But really, you need to think about what is at stake and what is success. Now, in Matthew 25, Jesus kind of continues on with really what he started in Matthew 24, and that is a deep elaboration on the importance of his coming again. Jesus is coming back, all right? We hear that theme over and over in the scriptures. It's vital, and we've got to be ready for that time. But he's talked about that in chapter 24 and continues in chapter 25. So there's the context of this story. But in this story, in this parable Jesus gives, there is a lesson about how to really be successful in your life. What you ought to be doing until Jesus comes back that would give your life meaning and make it worthwhile and make you a success. So we want to make sure that we're not confused about what success is, all right? In the eyes of the world, what is success? It's getting a lot of money. It's getting some recognition. But everything that is called success is not necessarily success. I read about a best-selling author who made the statement that when you get to the top, there's nothing there. Maybe a lot of emptiness there. Another successful CEO of a company in North Carolina resigned at the pinnacle of his career, and I want to give you his words. He said, "I climbed the ladder of success all my life, only to discover that my ladder was leaning against the wrong building." Okay? Success is not just having a lot of people know who you are, or having a lot of stuff, or accumulating scads of money. That is not success, all right? I want us to think about success in a different way this morning. And I mentioned Zig Ziglar. He was a godly man, a Christian motivational speaker. And he made this statement, "Success isn't having all the riches in the world. Success involves much more than money or prestige. Success is knowing where to turn when there's nowhere to turn. Success is having a spiritual life based on a personal faith in Jesus Christ." That's what success is, and that's the kind of success I want us to think about this morning. This is the kind of success that says, "God, I know you made me, I want you to run me, and I want to put my life in your hands, and I want to be doing all I can to bring glory and honor to you and help and assistance and encouragement to other people along this road of life." That's the kind of success that we want to think about this morning. And you know, you may, in the eyes of the world, never be a so-called success, and your name's not in who's who. But I want to tell you, if your name's in God's book, He knows who you are. You may never be prominent, you may never be popular, but I want to tell you, you're popular with Him if you're immersed in His word and His way, and your life is under His control. So I want to read this story Jesus gave us, and again, we're thinking about making the most of your life, and we're thinking about some things that will apply to graduates and apply to the rest of us as well. All right, so would you stand to your feet with me as we show reverence to the Word of God? We're in Matthew chapter 25. We want to begin at verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey. The "it" is the return of Jesus. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more, but the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering seed where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. So here's what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Be seated. Now, I want us to think about 3 great truths along these lines here this morning of making the most of your life. And first of all, say something about the diversification of our gifts. The diversification of our gifts. Now, there are 3 servants in this story, and these servants are given some gifts. We saw that right in the very first part of the passage. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Now, one servant gets 5 talents of money. And make sure you understand, these are not talents like abilities. That's an amount of money, all right? And a talent was worth over $1,000. One guy gets 5. One guy gets 2. One guy gets 1. Now, everybody gets something. You know, the Bible makes it clear that all of us, when once we come to Christ, will receive a spiritual gift from Him. It's multiple passages. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians chapter 4. They talk about these spiritual gifts that God gives to those who have come to Him in surrender. Now, understand, of course, that spiritual gifts and spiritual fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, that's not the same. Every one of us can have every one of those fruits listed in the passage over in Galatians chapter 5. But God gives everybody some gift to serve Him when you come to Him and you give your life to Him. Everybody gets a spiritual gift, but everybody doesn't get the same thing. Now, here in this story, one guy gets 5, one guy gets 2, one guy gets 1. Everybody doesn't receive identical, equal gifts. Now, somebody might say, "Well, wait a minute, that doesn't seem fair. Why would God give somebody this and somebody this lesser and somebody that little lesser?" Well, I don't know, but I just know this. He's God. He can do what He wants to do, okay? But He gives out some gifts. Now, those gifts are not the same. Different people have different gifts. You just heard some sweet music that was right out of Scripture about how God wants to be a blessing to His people. And I know Mike and Lisa were joined by the praise band in that. There's a bunch of people up here with some musical talents, all right? I want to tell you, when God passed out the musical talents, I wasn't in the line. I didn't get those, all right? Should I sit around and get jealous? Should I mope about that? Well, they've got some talent I don't have, and maybe Jesus loves them more than He loves me. It's not that way, all right? God passes out the talents, and He does this according to His own plan. Now, He doesn't give equal gifts, but here's what He does give: equal opportunity. Okay, He gives us all an opportunity to use what He has given us for His glory and honor. So we're all in the work. We all have equal employment. We all have equal opportunity. Really, aren't you glad that God mixes things up? I mean, if God made everybody a musician, then who would it be blessed by the music? If God made everybody an athlete, who'd sit in the bleachers? You know, if God made everybody a teacher, nobody would be in the class. So we understand that God has passed out some different gifts by His plan, and that's all right. The what we just need to do is find out what it is that He wants me to do. Now, I want to tell you, He's hardwired us in different ways, hasn't He? And you're not the same as that person next to you. And, you know, when you think about career, you might think about a number of different paths that people take. There's some people that God just fitted them for working in the medical field, somebody else in education, somebody else in government and politics, somebody else in this field or that field, somebody else in science. You know, God's made some people that are really good and made keenly to work with teenagers and work with children. And some folks are doing this and some are doing that. Some are singing a song. Some are writing the song. Some are doing a variety of things. Some people are writing notes of encouragement. You know, they just have a real keen sense and a gift of encouragement. Here's the truth. We don't need to sit around and compare our gifts to other people's gifts. We don't need to be jealous. We don't need to be mad or disappointed. God didn't give me this. God didn't give me that. What we need to do is say, hey, God, how is it You made me? And what is it You want me to do? And where is it You want me to go? Because I am here and I am ready and I'm willing and I'm available for You to shape me. There was a rock and roll song back in the 60s that said, bend me, shape me, any way You want me. I mean, we could adapt that secular song to our being in step with Him, couldn't we? Lord, just bend me and shape me. Put me in the place You want me to go. Now, understand, nobody gets all the gifts, but everybody gets some gift. Nobody gets everything. Somebody gets something. There's this diversification of our gifts. May I make a second point with you? And that deals with the discharge of our responsibilities. Now, simply put, God gives you a gift. It's up to you, with His help, through surrender to Him, to exercise that gift, to energize and activate that gift. Now, in this parable, in this story, Jesus told three individuals. Two received their gift and put it to work. One received his gift and didn't. You know, and in life today, don't you think it's the same? There are some people who say, okay, here's an opportunity. Here's a chance to do what I should do, be what I should be. And I'm going to seize that opportunity. I'm going to go get it. And there's some people that take a seat on the bench. There's some people that don't get in the game. There's some people that don't use those opportunities. And you see that all around. You see that in the church. And you see that in life. You know, and I think about a young man that I remember. And there was a young man that was gifted with some real athletic abilities. And as a youngster, I mean, in baseball, he could fire that thing in like a rocket when he was pitching. And he had the whole game. I mean, he did it all. And then in basketball, he was the best player in the league. Okay? But you know what? When it came to high school, I don't think he ever played in a game. I don't think he was ever on a team because he got more interested in tobacco and drugs and hanging out with the wrong people. And I think he could have had a college scholarship, could have had an education paid for if he had used those abilities that he had. But instead, he just blew it. He just didn't use those at all. I want to tell you, we have some opportunities, don't we? And Jesus is telling us in this story how to use your opportunities, how to be successful. But it involves following the example of two who said, okay, God, I'm going to take what I've been given, and knowing there's a day of accountability coming, knowing he's coming back, and knowing their master was coming back, they served and did what they should, but one didn't. So here's a question. Which one of those two categories, those who activated their gift or those who sat on it, which one of those two categories do you fit in? Where are you right now? And I mean in terms of, you can think about in terms of work in God's church, in God's kingdom. You know, there's some people, I mean, they just have a real sense of ability that God's given them. They could do this, they could do that, they could work with children in the children's program. Some people just have a gift of teaching. Some people have some skill, some mechanical skill. I mean, you know, in the physical property, maybe you're a good painter, or maybe you can fix stuff that's broken. Some people just have a real knack to jump in and help in some special project, like that tent revival we had that took a lot of hands-on work. There are people that have this opportunity and that opportunity. Working with children, Bible school coming up, and in the nursery and so forth. You know, If you got some knack that God's given you, some spiritual gift, some ability to, maybe you're that encourager. Some people have physical ability to make a lot of money, or give. They can make a lot and they can give a lot. Some people have the gift of administration. They're just good at that, organization. My question is, if you got something God has given you, are you kicking it in, or are you just letting it sit? Okay. We just need to seek that from God, seek how he's made us and what we should be doing to walk with him and serve him. And then in terms of graduates, and even not just graduating, but those who are headed toward that way, you think about a career. How's God made you? How's God equipped you? Has God given you some particular abilities that really suit you for studying data processing and computer work, like I heard mentioned here, or service in the military, or some other way? You see, there's so many things. God has just made us in different ways, hasn't he? And some people can do this, and some people can do that. Some people are very technical-minded and very good at engineering and mathematics and scientific things. Some people, like me, are not so hot at that kind of stuff. Some people are hardwired for sales and business, or maybe some manufacturing position. God's made some people his plan for them is for them to till the soil, or to operate some machinery in some plant, or to be behind the wheel of a big truck, or to be, again, in some kind of aspect of healthcare. Whatever it is God's made you for, seek his face, seek his plan, and then go for that and find that. And it may be in the military, it may be a police officer, a firefighter, and maybe God's called you to ministry, to some aspect of ministry or mission work. Whatever it is, find out what he wants you to do. And understand this now, when you're doing what God wants you to do, whether it's kingdom work or vocational work, if God has you doing that, if God's equipped you for that, you're in his will, and what you do really matters, okay? The culture in which we live may look down on certain fields or whatever. You know, well, you just work in a restaurant, or you just fix cars, you're a grease monkey, or you're a factory rat, or whatever. You know, I've heard all those expressions, and you have too. I want to tell you, nobody is a nobody in the eyes of God. And if God has put you in a place and God has made you where this is your gift, your skill, your talent, and you approach that as your service to God and people God loves, you're in the right place, you're doing the right thing, and it doesn't matter how insignificant somebody might think you are, you're significant in the eyes of God. You say, prove that to me, I will be glad to do that. Here's what it says in Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. I want to tell you, a success is a person that finds the will of God and gets in the will of God. And it doesn't matter if society esteems you highly or as a nobody. You're with him and doing what he wants you to do, and that's what matters. So find your gift. Activate your gift. Utilize your gift. Have a willing heart. Get the training that it takes, whether you're going to University of Southern Indiana or one of these other places that have been mentioned, Purdue or Marion or whatever. You get there, you get equipped, and you get busy. And I want to tell you, you'll be a successful person and a satisfied person if you do all that under the lordship of Jesus and you're doing what he has planned for you to do. Now, we said something about the diversification of our gifts. Everybody is given equal opportunity, though not everybody is given equal gifts. We've said something about the discharge of our responsibilities. If you sense deep in your heart that this is the path God wants you on, whether it's a career path or a path in his kingdom work, you find out how God wants you to be investing your opportunities, and you get it done. You go for it. And that's what you're to do as you wait for Jesus to come back, because you know he's coming back. We've discussed these things, but I want to say something about a third and final point. Not just the diversification of our gifts, not just the discharge of our responsibilities, but finally, the determination of our rewards. The determination of our rewards. And I want to put an A underneath that and say something about how there were some rewards for the faithful servants here. There is a faithful servant, actually a couple different ones. And this guy and the second guy. They're what you could call a success, because they took what was given to them and they used it in the way they were supposed to use it, and it came out just right. When the owner came home, there was the accountability and the reward. Let me read to you again from verse 19. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Do you see the reward? Do you see the blessing? They did what God wanted them to do. They did what their master wanted to do. And the lesson for us is we do what our God wants us to do as we wait for his return. And we know that he is coming back and he'll hold us accountable, but he'll bless us and he'll reward us. Now, these guys were wise. But there was somebody here that was not so wise. Let's put a B under that last point and say something about the unfaithful servant. There was a lazy guy. There was a slothful guy. There was a guy who pictures us if we don't take the opportunities and the privileges and the gifts we have and put them to use and activate them. Now, who's the unfaithful servant? Well, pretty obvious here. Verse 24, then the man who had received the 1 talent came and said, Master, I know that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talents in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. Now, do you notice there's only one guy of these three who made excuses? That was this guy. All right? You know what you can do? You can make the most of your opportunity, or you can make excuses. You can say, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, what he's equipped me to do. Or you can say, well, yeah, I'm tired. I'm worn out. Somebody else could do it. I don't think I want to do that. That would get me out of my comfort zone. That would interfere with my own plans. I want to tell you, here's a guy that made excuses. He could have done something, but instead he did nothing. So here's a question then that posed for each of us. Am I making the most of my opportunity, or am I making excuses? Am I saying, well, God, I can't do this because of this or because of that? I got all these other things going. You know, it is possible that you've got some lesser things going in your life that are replacing the more important things in your life. And sometimes the good that we might think we're doing is not as good as the best that we ought to be doing. And we need to set aside what might be termed good in order to be and do what is best. And so here's the question. Are you going to make yourself available, or are you going to make an excuse? But here's the truth. These guys knew their master was coming back. At least 2 of them did. They got prepared for it. You know Jesus is coming back All right? There is a day of accountability coming. And so there's a rich and a rewarding lesson here, and there's a hard and a painful lesson. The rich and the rewarding lesson is those who were faithful, who took the opportunity they had and made something of it, they got rewarded. They got blessed. The other guy, anything but that. And not only did he lose his reward, but he lost future opportunities. Now, there's something kind of interesting and something that used to kind of puzzle me in this passage, and it might you if you first read it. Here's the master talking to the slothful servant. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have will be taken from him. Whoever does have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What's the bottom line? The bottom line is, if you don't use it, you lose it. Okay? It's not just a lost reward. It's a lost opportunity for future service. Now, you know, we live in an age where there are a number of modern medical procedures that are done. And I could name names of folks that are not here this morning because they have just undergone an orthopedic issue, maybe a surgery, a knee replacement or whatever. And what happens when that's done? When that happens, you're put on the sidelines for a little bit, aren't you? Somebody sent me an x-ray yesterday, and the before and after, remarkable the difference. But you see, while you're in the recovery, the recuperation process, what happens to the muscles around that joint? I tore a tricep tendon several years ago and had to have surgery. I had to have the thing reattached, and I could just feel those muscles shrink, you know, almost. It's just that atrophy sets in, doesn't it? If you don't use it, you lose it, right? Nod your head if you agree with that, okay? I believe that's what the Lord's saying here. If you don't use the opportunities you have, you're going to forfeit future opportunities. And that just does not make sense, right? So you might say, hey, I'll use what I got. Okay, good. What if you're only a one-talent person? You use that one talent, okay? What if you feel like your contribution is not all that significant? You're not in the limelight. You're not standing in front of folks like these music people are, or you're not standing in front of a Sunday school class teaching that, or you're not leading this or that. Hey, if God's got you following, that's just as good as leading if that's where you're supposed to be, okay? But you activate and use that. No talent is too small. And whatever Jesus has given you is not insignificant. So you seize the moments and you serve the Lord and you serve others with what he has given you. Now, let me ask you another question here as we kind of wrap things up. Are you a good investment in what the Lord's invested in you? Are you a good investment? Or have you been kind of a feeble or faulty investment? What if you had an account at the bank, all right? You had a savings account at the bank, and every year for 10 years, you took $1,000 to that bank. And then at the end of 10 years, you said, I want to get my money back. So you go to the bank, and you expect to get a good bit of money, and the banker hands you $10,000. You say, wait a minute, I put in $10,000. What have you done? He said, well, you know, we just took that money you brought in, and we would each time take it and bury it out behind the bank, and now it's time to dig it up and give it back to you. You'd be disappointed, wouldn't you, that you had invested something in somebody and they did nothing with it. Okay, you ask yourself, is God investing something in me, and am I doing what I should be doing with that investment? That's the challenge for each of us. Now, God's plan is he has equipped us in certain ways to do certain things, and we need to get with the program. And if you're lazy, if you're not doing what he wants you to be doing, if you're sitting on the sidelines, if your attitude is let somebody else do it, or one of these days I'll get around to it, or I'm too busy, or I'm too this, or I'm too that, then you know what you're doing? You're making excuses like this guy. And you can make excuses or you can deal with the opportunities, but it's up to us. Now, did you hear how this passage ended? This passage ended with really some very stern words, and they were for the guy who didn't do what he was supposed to do. Verse 30 says, "And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's not talking about a Christian who's lazy, okay? That's talking about the lost person who has total disregard for the master and won't do anything at all. But that's a very stiff and a stern warning that you would end up where? End up in a place called hell. You know, some people say, well, you know, I don't know, I don't believe in hell. You know, it really doesn't matter whether you believe in it or not. That doesn't make something not exist because you don't believe in it. You might not believe that water is H2O, but it is, whether you believe it or not. And the truth is, if you live this life, if you breathe God's air, if you see God's Son stretched out on a cross on your behalf to pay for your sins, that's the only way to make you right with God, and you turn away from that, then this is the situation where you're going to be. When He comes back, or when you die and stand before Him, you'll be lost. You did not do what you should, and you did not commit yourself to Him. So if you don't know Him as Savior and Lord, you don't want to hear these sad words. You know what you want to do? You want to hear? You want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what we have all wanted to hear, and that's what we all could hear. I read this story about Johnny Wooden. Some of you recognize that name, Johnny Wooden. He was the basketball coach at UCLA, and he won more national championships than anybody who ever won a national championship, any college coach ever. Johnny Wooden's from Indiana, and Johnny Wooden was raised by a dad who said, "Whatever happens, don't whine, don't make excuses, don't complain, be your best, do your best." Johnny Wooden's high school basketball team was in the state championship game a number of years ago, and they lost the game by 1 point. Johnny Wooden said he was the only boy in that locker room that wasn't crying after the game. He said, "Here's why I wasn't crying. Because like my dad told me, I knew I had done my best. I knew I'd done my best." And he said after the game, his father actually took him home and gave him a poem. And here's the words of that poem: "You're going to be better than some, and some are going to be better than you. But you should never accept the fact that you didn't make the effort to do the best that you can do." I want to tell you, that's God's challenge. For you to know Him as Savior and Lord. For you to humble your heart, admit you're lost without Him, that you're guilty of sin, and God can't be in the presence of sin. So if you're an unforgiven sinner, you're never going to make it into God's heaven. But you can be forgiven of your sin, and you can be made right with Him. And once you're made right with Him, it's a total sellout to say, "God, however you've made me, I want to give it all back to you, and I want to follow you lock, stock, and barrel. That's what I want." Isn't that these words, "well done"? Aren't those the words you'll want to hear someday? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you reminded us that not only that you're coming back, but we need to be ready for that. And Lord, we know that you're coming is closer than it's ever been before. And God, we'd be foolish to not be prepared for that. So God, the way to be prepared is to hand our lives over to you, to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, to repent. And to repent means I change my mind. It's not my life anymore, but I need to give it back to the one who gave it to me. And I need to trust that what Jesus did on the cross was sufficient to save me. And I need to believe that He rose from the dead and that He lives eternally, and He'll give me that eternal life and a quality of life that I can't have without Him. So Lord, here's my life. We need to receive you like that. And then, Lord, we need to walk in total commitment to you. And Lord, does that cost us something? It does, but it pays everything. Lord, it's so rewarding and so rich and so satisfying and gratifying to be hand in hand with Jesus. Now, Lord, we wind this service down with an invitation and appeal for those who haven't yet received you as Savior and Lord, to settle that this morning, God, to get off of that thin ice that they're on. where they could fall through and be forever lost. God, may that be settled this morning by somebody saying, I need Jesus, and having the courage to come and pray with us at this altar to get saved today. God, this is so urgent. But then, God, may the rest of us be all in this matter of whatever it is you've given us, we give back to you so we can glorify you and we can serve others. God, in kingdom work, in vocational work, whatever, God, we just want to be all in for you. So, Lord, help people make the decisions they ought to make and not be afraid to express them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.